Good. Technology sorted. I wonder if you've ever tried to get the chance to talk to somebody who is right at the top of a major organisation. The closest I ever got was shaking the hands of Richard Branson on a Virgin flight to LA. But what about if I'd wanted an appointment with, let's say, the Prime Minister? I'd have to be somebody really quite important, wouldn't I? Maybe an ambassador or CEO of a major bank or company. And even then, I would get a special one-off meeting. I wouldn't gain the right just to drop in on her whenever I fancied it. So what if it was the Queen that I wanted to see? That would be really difficult. So how about if I really wanted to see the CEO of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all this lot? I think I would feel very, very, very small and insignificant. How would I get an appointment with someone who made all of that and much more besides? How do I get to lay before him my needs and aspirations? How do I get to tap into his obviously infinite resources, but especially those of love, joy, peace, power? How do I get to tell him that sometimes this life he's given me sucks and I really need his help just to make it through? This morning, I'm tasked by Alan to preach from Hebrews 4, 12 to 16, and there's two major sermons in there, and I'd love to preach the first one about the Word of God, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to focus on verses 14 to 16, page 1203, and on the access rights that Jesus, as the great high priest, won for us into the very throne room of heaven, the very throne room of the creator of all of that. And that not just as a special once-in-a-lifetime access, but as often as we like. We're so used to thinking that important people just would not have time for the likes of you and me, that we take that same attitude into our relationship with God. We think about him, oh, he wouldn't really have time for little old me. But the God of the universe operates an open door policy. But it's only for those who come wearing the right clothes. Only those who are righteous in his sight. And therein lies the problem, because none of us meet that criteria. Our clothes, our lives, our souls are stained by our sin. Therefore, we're not righteous, we're unrighteous. We fail to live lives that are worthy of God. We fail to live lives that reflect the image of God that he's put within us from our creation. None of us has the right clothes to walk through that door. None of us is righteous in his sight. So we have two options, I guess. One is to throw in the towel and shrug our shoulders and say, well, I never really expected to be able to get an appointment with God. And the other is to seek out the right clothes to wear. You see, in verse 16 of our reading, just over the page, or starting at the bottom of 1203, it says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us then approach. So it's got to be possible. It's got to be possible to enter the open door, to approach the throne on which the God of the universe sits. Not in timidity or fear, waiting for punishment, but with confidence, with boldness. And in so doing, it's got to be possible for us not to be judged guilty for not being righteous in his sight. But rather, it goes on to say, but instead to receive mercy and to find grace to help us in our time of need. So, let's back up a few verses to beginning of verse 14 to find out just how that can be possible. Verse 14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. It's possible for us to approach the Father because we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. What's a high priest? Who needs one of them? Well, actually, it turns out you do. And if you're a Christian, you already have one. But the term high priest sounds incredibly archaic. I don't know what it brings to your mind, but unless you're pretty well steeped in the Old Testament, you probably think of images of druids or some other undesirable cults. An Old Testament priest was an intermediary between the people on one hand and God on the other. If you wanted to make some kind of offering to God, you went to the priest, and the priest made the offering on your behalf. If you wanted to make a sacrifice, you took it to the priest, who sacrificed it on your behalf. If you wanted healing or cleansing, you went to the priest, who sought God on your behalf. You needed the priest to act as the intermediary between you and God. He was the one with the hotline to God. You had no direct access. The high priest in the Old Testament was the figurehead of the temple worship in Jerusalem. He alone was allowed into the Holy of Holies, the innermost sanctuary of the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, the place on earth most associated with the very presence of God. Only the high priest could go in, and he could only go in once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And he could only enter the Holy of Holies carrying with him the sacrificial blood of a bull and a lamb for his sin and that of the people. Sorry, a bull and a goat for his sin and the people. And the sacrificial blood he brought made access possible. It was a sin offering. But it was only effective for until the next time he or the people sinned. The high priest, and only the high priest, temporarily was counted as righteous before God in order to enter the presence of God. But he was just a man. He was fallible. And so were the people, and the sacrifice had to be repeated again and again and again. But it says, we have a great high priest. Actually, in the Greek, it says, we have a mega high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. In our celebrity, we love celebrity culture. We love to celebrate greatness. And we bandy the word around quite freely, don't we? So this morning, obviously you're in church, you're not there. So going on right at the moment in Dorking this morning is a celebration of the life of Rob Walker, owner of the Walker motor racing team based here in Dorking in the 50s and 60s with drivers such as Stirling Moss, Jack Brabham. Centenary is to celebrate a great man of motorsport. But Hebrews goes to great lengths to show how, in the words of the children's song, Jesus is greater than the greatest heroes. He is a mega high priest. His achievements outshine any other human achievement in any other field of interest. The Hebrew says he's even greater than the angels. He's in a different category from all of the above. He's such a great high priest because he's gone through the heavens. He presented his sacrifice of atonement for sins, not at an earthly altar, not even in the Holy of Holies, but in the heavenly courts themselves. He went through that door with his sacrifice before the throne of the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, the only human who was ever sinless, verse 15 says, tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Sinless and therefore righteous. Sinless and therefore had the right clothes to wear. No problem. Could go straight through the door into the Father's presence, clothed in his own righteousness. But Jesus wasn't just the priest bringing an animal sacrifice for sin and his sin and other sin. He had no sin. He didn't need to bring any sacrifice for him. But the people needed it. He brought blood, the blood, his own blood, shed on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of every other human being, that we too, if we go through that door in the name of Jesus, that we too will be counted righteous, clothed in his righteousness, not ours. Jesus was both priest and sacrifice. And because he was sinless, this was a once forever sacrifice. It didn't need repeating ever. And it's always effective for anyone who looks to Jesus as Saviour. One sacrifice for all, as we'll say later in our communion prayer. We remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. This is the work of a truly great high priest, a mega high priest, who does away with the need for any other priest ever. Because any of us now can enter the door. We've got direct access. We don't need an intermediary. We have direct access through Jesus. We can approach the throne of grace. As Alan was preaching 3 weeks ago, we can draw near to God and he will draw near to us. We don't need any other priest because we have such a great high priest in Jesus. It's actually a mistake perpetrated by the medieval church and for some reason not corrected by the reformers to call clergy priests. We're authorised ministers, and the bit of white plastic around our necks shows that we've been authorised. But we're not priests in the biblical sense. We're not needed as an intermediary between you and God. You don't need Alan to do that for you. You don't need me to do that for you. You have direct access yourself because you have a mega high priest, a great high priest in Jesus, through whom you can, in the words of verse 16, approach the throne of grace with confidence. The great high priest has restored your relationship with the Father if you will come to God the Father through him. And that means you can talk to him at any time. You can lay before him your needs and aspirations. You can tap into his infinite resources of love, joy, peace, power. You can tell him sometimes life just sucks and you need his help to get through it. So let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. With such encouragement, such work having been done on your behalf to make it possible, what stops us doing it? Why don't we live in the very presence of God all the time? We could. Maybe you're actually afraid of him. Fear has to do with punishment, and there is no punishment for those who come to him through Jesus, because Jesus has borne that punishment on the cross. So what's stopping you? Maybe you're really quite happy where you are, self-sufficient life, and you don't really feel the need. Did you notice, I'm sure you did, how blunt Jesus was in our gospel reading when he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? And sometimes we get around that by saying, yeah, but I'm not that rich. And I heard one lovely definition of the people we think are rich are the people who have at least twice what we have. Doesn't matter where you are on the scale. Somebody else is rich, I'm just ordinary. Well, actually, on a global scale, every one of us in this room is rich. The trouble is, being so, we get used to being self-sufficient, to meeting our own needs, and we don't recognize that we do have a need here for help from someone else. That we can never, ever earn our own way into heaven. I did it my way won't get you in through the door. It's his way or no way. So what's stopping you? Does it sound too much just like religious mumbo jumbo? It's actually remarkably simple, though we try and make it sound difficult. There's no need for any prescribed formula. Just a willingness to engage your heart and your head, be it with the scriptures, be it with the words of the songs or hymns we sing. That first song, actually, that Hannah chose for this morning, summed up so many of the things that come directly out of this passage. I was going to say, go back and look it up. You can't, because it was on the screen. But if you had it in front of you, never mind. To engage with the scriptures, the words of the songs we sing, the liturgy, or just to engage with God in silence and stillness. There are no fixed words to use before him. Bring your prayers, bring your words of worship or thanksgiving. If you have the gift of tongues, let the Spirit speak through you with groans that words cannot express. Just be still in the moment, in an attitude of awe and adoration, remembering just who it is who welcomes you into his presence. What's possibly stopping you? God loves you more than you've ever been loved by anyone else, and he wants to spend time with you if you want to spend time with him. He's done all he can to gain access for you into his presence. So his word says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The throne's not a place of judgment and fear, but one of mercy and grace. God is merciful. That means he doesn't give us what we deserve. The punishment that we deserve has already been taken by Jesus on the cross. But more than just merciful, God is also gracious, which means he gives us what we don't deserve. Undeserved favor from God. He gives us grace to help us in our time of need. What what's stopping us? What's stopping you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're sorry that we so often take for granted what you did for us on the cross. And so often we don't just take that upon ourselves as a gift from you, but we try and work harder to get into heaven. And Lord, that's stupid. We know that won't work. But you have won access for us into the throne room of heaven, that we may approach the Father's throne with confidence. And we come now in your name, clothed in your righteousness. And stand in the Father's presence. And we say, Father, we love you. You are the most amazing God. Come and have your way in us and in our lives.